Welcome back to another exciting episode of Goth Girl Horror, the official Hackslash podcast. I am your host, Dr. Chris, and I thought I'd end the back-to-school miniseries with issue 3 and 4. We did issues 1 and 2 with their own individual episodes, but I wanted to get into 2025 to get caught up to Hackslash with the Body Bags crossover when that finishes, which I believe is happening in March or April. So I digress. So we're going to go through the credits for issue 3 and 4. We have Zoe Thorgard on the story and art and color assist by Sarah Mitarachi. If I mispronounce it, I do apologize. And on the third issue, we have Zoe Thorgard on cover A and Luda Vecchio. So I'm not even going to continue trying butchering her name. I'll just spell it out for you on the other cover. So the first cover has Samantha Kane in a very kind of, what's the girl's name? Michonne from The Walking Dead, samurai sword wielding, just pose holding a latte, and she's just looking over her shoulder. And then the other cover is, I believe it's Cassie with Samantha just, she's taking a slash. I believe that's what it is. She's just slashing in the direction. I think it's Cassie. It could also be Maisie, but I'm pretty sure it's Cassie, but she's got horns in her head, so it's hard to tell. So I digress. In this issue, we have Cassie in the agency discovers a dangerous slasher responsible for making kids murder their own families. After spending too long online, Cassie assumes it's brainwashing, which she must be immune to, right? Only stupid people get brainwashed, which is basically Cassie's opinion. So issue 4 has the same creative credits, by the way. And we have the cute little dog Angel and Mabel on the cover, kind of passed out with what looks like dicks drawn on her face, a pizza box in her lap, and a soda steaming. I've never seen a soda steam before. On her tray. The dog is responsible for the dick marks on her face, or the drawn penises. Yeah, like, you know, you fall asleep in class, someone's gonna draw a dick on your face. The first time I ever saw someone do that was not in my high school. It was actually in a movie. It was 10 Things I Hate About You. So look it up if you've never seen it before. The other cover, which I really do want, by the way, has, which I think is cover B, has Cassie leaning on her signature bat. Yeah, this is by Liana Kangas and Jimmy Savage. That looks really cool. Just Cassie kind of leaning on the bat. I just like the pose. And then we have the next cover, which was a 1 in 10 variant, by the way. It has Cassie looking behind her as who she becomes walking towards us, as like basic Cassie Hack is leaving the Skrullgirl persona behind her. It's graduation day, and the signature look that we know her to have, which is, you know, like a string bikini and the tiny micro miniskirt and the leggings and the stockings on her arms holding her bat. And this is done by Paola, I believe the name is pronounced Seely. Tim, you can correct me, as this is Tim's wife. One of the things I have to say about this series, it's an absolutely incredible art job done by Zoe Thorgood, and a brutal finale which brings Cassie and Vlad's time as slasher school killers to an end and moves on to the story that we probably know and love in the first Hackslash one-shot. This last two issues goes absolutely bonkers in every way possible with its depiction of a lot of Japanese horror, things I only ever see in anime. I never see the type of material that Zoe put into this comic book in American comic books. And it's probably because she's not an American comic book artist. She is a British comic book author, just to make that point very clear. So that's one of the probably the big reasons why it's so different and it's just so foreign in terms of a lot of its art design. A lot of the stuff you've seen here, you don't see in American comic books in any capacity. I really enjoyed that. It was something different. It was something fresh. Most of the time, it's kind of like the same old Marvel's DC style, and not a lot of different things, which, is not the end of the world. I just prefer something, a little different once in a while. And I really enjoy Joey Thorogood bringing that European sense and style to this story. It does bring an end to this entire chapter, and we never see these characters again, which is really unfortunate because some of these characters I could really get used to overall, coming back more and more. Samantha Kane and Boo, Darla Ritz, just so you're spoiled ahead of time. Really becomes kind of like the villain of this thing. And this thing also has a very mama kind of feel to it, with this evil, demonic entity hanging over everyone's head. And she definitely gets killed in one of the worst ways, as well as the evil demonic entity. There was a movie that came out a couple of years ago called Cobweb. This also heavily reminded me of that. Cobweb had Anthony Starr in it, who plays Homelander in The Boys, and he was in the TV series Banshee. This had a creature in it that definitely reminded me of the creature that shows up in issue 4 of the series. This gangly, weird, ghostly, nightmare-looking thing. One of the things I do love is that right there in the middle of the book, we get this kind of like childlike notebook depiction of what is going on with the craziness inside someone's head. And I thought that was incredible. And you could say this is possibly also in continuity, one of the first times we get like the depiction of super magic that Cassie encounters. But technically, in a way of speaking, any and all slashers that come back, whether it be ones created for this series, the slashers that are in, let's say, Joshua Williamson's Nailbiter, or the movie slashes that we're mostly familiar with, they all come back with some kind of form of magic. With Michael Myers or Freddy Krueger or Jason Voorhees, Leatherface never really encounters that. He stays dead, or he never really dies. But I digress. One of the things that really shocked me is the ending that Vlad does to Cassie to put right what she had to do at the school is pretty unbelievable. And I am always curious if that would ever come back to bite them in the ass. Because Vlad does something to her for her own good, possibly. And this is reminiscent of a storyline that happened over in Brad Meltzer's Justice League called Identity Crisis. This is the part that I'm not going to, and FYI, it's not sexual assault. Most people think of Identity Crisis, they think of the sexual assault of Sue Dinney. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what happened around that and the ramifications that reverberated through the DC universe for years to come. And I'm not talking about the sexual assault. That was shocking to begin with. So this is as well, but think of movies where you would possibly, the plot line was to do this to somebody to help them. And it's been done in the Marvel Cinematic Universe with somebody once or twice. I'm not gonna give it overly away. This is a part of the plot line that I was very shocked about. And I definitely had to reread this issue, this miniseries, twice when I first bought it, and then a second time for this podcast. And that's this issue specifically, because I didn't quite realize what it is that Vlad had done to help Cassie. But they encounter someone's grave. There's kind of like a splash. Whoa, wait, not quite dead, possibly. Could we be seeing this character again because they are the villain? Who knows? It's just kind of sad. This is just how it ends, because this could have been a great group of characters. They don't have a lot of longevity characters in the Hackslash universe. They definitely killed a bunch off during the Samhain storyline at the end of the, I think it was the second Hackslash ongoing series. Other than like Cat and Pooch, it's really kind of it. Maybe a couple others, but I digress. I think this is going to come back to bite Vlad in the butt at some point. We'll just have to wait and see what Tim Seeley does. I'm sure he's got a great plan. This was a big like 20th anniversary series, so we didn't get to finish it within the 20th anniversary. I had a lot of things going on in my own personal life, but I also started upping my game as a filmmaker and documentarian of the deceased. I've been working on several films about the deceased comic book writers and artists who came before. Some that may have inspired Tim Seeley himself. One of the big ones that's coming out soon is about Bernie Wrightson. But I can get more about that in another podcast. I wanted to get into some of the things in this issue that I thought were really cool as well. There is a couple of pinups. By the way, the depiction of horror in this, if they ever made live action, would be incredibly out of nowhere, bonkers, insane. Especially this giant spider woman that chases Boo and Cassie around. Boo, by the way, is dressed up like a Playboy bunny. She's supposed to be, I'm assuming, 18. Let's just hope she's 18. They also, by the way, got the updated the hack slash timeline was updated too, so you know exactly where this falls into place. There's also a really cool depiction of Cassie versus the Frankenstein monster, and by the Frankenstein monster, I really mean the Universal Studios version, by Alex Demarjian. It's a really cool image, and I would really love to see this artist draw an issue or two of Hack Slash. So I digress. Definitely check that out. One of the other things I absolutely love about this, these issues, they were not broken up by ads, by the way. There were no ads. There is a weird black-ish like page just before they get to the big reveal of somebody coming back to haunt Cassie and Vlad later on. I thought that was kind of an odd choice. Might have been a story filler. I really don't know. The other thing that I thought was very strange is the back of every issue is just a green cover with a little blood splattered on it. The blood splatter is the same. It's just a green issue. Now I only have cover A's for these issues. They're just blank. It looks like a chalkboard, maybe with chalk marks on it. It's so strange. They didn't put anything on the back cover. I don't know why. I have Tim Seeley back on. I will talk about it sometime. Don't worry. There is always some odd choices with Hack Slash. I always wonder if it comes down to his decision or is it an Image Comics decision. So it's curious. I did want to go over some comments on here that people have mentioned online about this series, which I thought would be great to bring up. An absolutely absurd, brutal finale to Cassie and Vlad's first time as slasher killers. Zoe Thorogood's vivid storytelling once again steals the show as the comic shifts from standard narrative to something else entirely and back again. Masterful work from one of the most imaginative creators in the business to today, deserving of her Eisner nomination. This is by Danger Rock. Then we have one by Not Todd Johnson. The whole miniseries is a 5 out of 5. I know nothing about Hack Slash, but this whole series was bloody fun. Zoe Thorogood is easily shooting up my list of favorite people in comics. Her unique art style mixed with raw emotional storytelling and some of the best I've ever seen. Buy the trade if you miss the individual issues, because I can't find them. Jesus fucking Christ, that was so good. That's my review by Z Raven. Absolutely love that review. We cuss on this podcast, but we do try and tone it down once in a while, even though it is marked as E as explicit. Man, I hope we get more Zoe Thorogood on Hack Slash. I don't know anything about like what's coming for Hack Slash in 2025. Tim has posted on Twitter. If you really want to know, just go to Tim's Twitter. He's been posting about it. I believe he's on Blue Sky as well. So if you're abandoning Twitter for reasons I won't get into on the podcast, you can go over to Blue Sky. But I know he's not on Facebook, so just keep that in mind. Let's see what else we got here. I do find it hard to write about Hack Slash because it's masterfully executed, brainless fun. There are scenes that I think about almost daily, but I don't feel quite qualified to be right about here because they are on another level. But as a spider-obsessed person, I can really recommend this issue, and maybe CRISPR or the Moser Group or someone should hire Dr. Faust Andromeda. The Mosers are not siblings. They were married. They were broken up. Guess that is what winning a Nobel Prize does to a marriage. Interesting. See, this one says, "This shit is so good. Zoe Thorogood is killing it in the writing and the art. I for sure need to go back and read other Hack Slash stuff now. Sad this is ending after another. This is ending after this issue." So you're talking about issue 3. Hopefully, she's able to do more with the series later. I do hope so too. I do wonder if we're ever gonna get a Hack Slash ongoing series again, or is Tim just wants to keep it as a mini series and one shots. I do know he said he doesn't want to become known as the crossover guy, and he is doing a crossover right now with Body Bags, which is not a comic book I am familiar with at all. And I know nothing, next to nothing about it. So I will definitely try and be doing my research on what Body Bags is about and hopefully have someone on from that on the show. Although I do know that the creator of Body Bags did pass away many years ago. So that series is being done in honor of him. Beyond that, again, I do not know very much. I do know that the Hack Slash Back to School is available in trade paperback from Image Comic Books or your local comic book store. I highly recommend going to That's Entertainment or the Hall of Comics or Bedrock Comics or Harrison Comics or Wonderland Comics or Omar's Comics. These are all in Massachusetts or Connecticut, by the way. So any of those would probably be great. Chris's Comics up in New Hampshire as well. Find out from your local comic book guy at a Comic Con, like Wicked Con, which is coming up in April, run by Bob, if they happen to have these trade paperbacks. Another review I wanted to read of Hack Slash Back to School real quick is Hack Slash Back to School reads like Stand By Me for Generation Z. That is, if the movie were set in a Final Girl Academy that trains young women to kill monsters that look something straight out of a Junji Ito horror story, which I had mentioned previously. Junji Ito. But if you don't know what his stuff is, just Google it and then go buy a comic book of his work. It is insane. There's a delicate balance between horror and humor in the artwork, with narration presented as Cassie Hacks written in notes at the top of the panels that I think distinguish the series from other iterations of Hack Slash. The pacing declinates between borders of fanatic and stillness with adept paneling and flows, allowing us to deliver into the characters' voices and stark differences in tone. By the way, this is from comicsbeat.com if you want to go more to read more about this review. I'm kind of picking apart. I stress all this because I genuinely believe Zoe did a phenomenal job with Hack Slash Back to School, and from what I've heard from other viewers, the only issue with the run has been there wasn't enough issues. This is true. This should have been maybe 6 issues. I think she got. I don't know if she got rushed, or is this her timeline, or is this what she wanted to do, or what she had time to do, or this is Tim Seeley, or this was Image Comics. I don't know. Maybe it was her choice because it seemed like Tim gave her free rein to do what she wanted. This is 4 issues. I really think this could have been 6 issues and paced out a little bit more. I just feel like it was a little rushed, and we really got to know these characters for like 5 minutes before gone. So I digress. I definitely recommend It's Lonely at the Center of the Earth, which is Zoe Thorogood's book about anxiety and depression. So go check that out. By the way, I have my own comic book about anxiety and depression coming out soon, sometime this year. It's called Not the End. So look for that. But I digress. Thank you, everyone, for staying with me for the Goth Girl Horror Hack Slash podcast coverage of Back to School, issues 3 and 4. Don't forget, you can find me over on Facebook on the Radio Horror page, which has been reborn. You can send me an email, thatradiohorror@gmail.com, if you have any questions or comments or corrections about anything I've covered on Hack Slash, any of the Hack Slash episodes. You can also find me of course, on the Twitter at Goth Girl Horror, the official Hack Slash podcast. I am now on Blue Sky under Radio Horror. I am not making a separate Hack Slash Goth Girl Horror Twitter account. Sorry, you can go follow Tim on either his Twitter or his Blue Sky account. He's on both. All the episodes, sorry, are on radiohorror.com under the Goth Girl Horror link. You just click that, all the episodes will now load down. We had a big problem with the website for years, and I finally got it fixed. It was something so stupid, I can't believe how long it took me to fix the website. But we got it fixed. All you have to do, go to radiohorror.com, click Goth Girl Horror, all the episodes are there. Or go to iTunes, Stitcher, Audible, I believe Google Play, and leave a review. If you're on iTunes, please leave a review. If you're on Podbean, leave a review. Any of those, please leave a review. Or just listen to the show on radiohorror.com. And we'll be back with Hack Slash Body Bags, issues 1 through 4, once the series is completed, here on Goth Girl Horror, the official Hack Slash podcast.